Charging?
No, we got no power on these guys.
Okay, let me go ask Miranda.
I guess when we run out of power, the meeting's over.
Yeah.
Yours?
No, it's not.
I wonder if that might be a bigger piece of this puzzle of not getting the other equipment to work. None of the power in here.
Either one of them are.
They tried all four and no power.
All four outlets?
Yes.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, and his is. We haven't tried the other.
His is charging?
Do I?
No, his is not.
No, none of them are charging.
But they tried this one.
Yeah. Nope, none of them are. They're all Kaputsky.
How'd you do today?
Good.
Good.
Well, last minute of the day, sir.
Are they charging now?
Not yet.
Okay.
And
wish I had the
electrical. Wow, that would be super.
I am. This thing is not willing to connect to the internet. And it's always that.
I always have to go through the guests.
I am getting Wi-Fi signals.
I'll let you know that, and I'll get that.
Oh,
like absolutely.
Well, I got 57%. I'm doing okay.
I'm thinking you're going to survive.
Hi, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
I've only got 4% over here.
Yeah, I've lost 2%.
Good, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
What's up? How are you
doing? Good deal.
Oh, well done.
John?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Do you know, is there anything in any of the animal ordinances that prohibits people from doing their own crap and release program after three dogs?
Oh, heck no. I've never had it.
It's, okay.
It's always hooked up.
People that are doing nothing about that trying to release.
My phone did the same thing.
Go ahead and do that.
Mine often is. I feel like it's a natural product.
Guys, but I got a calls that on when they watch this live. The audio's going to be
thank you.
They can hear people talking, the hands waving, but
they can see lips.
Yeah.
Yes.
But no sound is coming from TV.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something
I'll keep going. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm not sure what the but yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah, we would have taken it out.
Yes.
Was that just last week or is that every time?
It's been, like, I guess the last two council sessions, regular council sessions.
Okay.
There has been no audio for team long.
Okay.
But no.
All right, we'll get started here. I just want to note the absence tonight of Councilman Johnson, Powell, and Pacheco. And so we'll start off with the council meeting follow-up. Anybody have anything from the last council meeting that we need to discuss or follow up on? Vice Mayor Lewis.
I just wanted to bring up and discuss with you guys. We had, when we talked about changing the items with tethering, we talked about, you know, focusing more on cruelty than focusing on like a exact hour definition. And so Carter has some amendments that have been worked on that I'm going to go ahead and propose at the next meeting, just kind of clarifying even more so some verbiage that will provide those animal officers with more clarity as far as cruelty and the cruelty that can come from tethering. And so just wanted to kind of give everyone a heads up so they can review that and send any comments or opinions or questions before the next meeting.
Good. City Manager, do you have anything from the last meeting?
Mr. Mayor, just to be clear, with regard to the piece of paper I just handed to you, the, unless I missed it, I'm sorry, the last two entries would be the ones that would be this proposed amendment, if you will, to the section that you have listed here. Right. Yeah.
Councilman Huber.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure that all of you have gotten the flood of the same email from everybody. There apparently is a, must be some people out there that think that whoever can organize and send the most emails is going to win on their side. I don't know about anyone else, but I don't have that to be particularly convincing. But I just keep hearing the same thing over and over. If people have some additional facts that they want to bring up, I'm always interested in hearing additional facts. That's a little bit troubling to me, but something else that occurred to me that I think we need to be thinking about is all these people that are talking about these trap and release programs, there's nothing in the current ordinance or in the proposed ordinance that we're proposing that stops people from doing that on their own if they want to. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind when, as we read all of these different proposals and everything from everyone. And I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was something worth remembering and worth thinking about.
Okay, anybody else? All right, so we'll move on to the Coach Road LED, Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. Good evening. We have a request basically from members of our community who live along Coates Road that would like to have council consider, and I'll put this here for you to review as we talk here in case you didn't get the opportunity to look at that attachment as by virtue of your packet this weekend. have basically come forward and asked the council, or the city, I should say, if indeed the city would be interested in entertaining a partnership in order to get that portion of Coates Road that's within the city limits paved. And the idea being, of course, that they're hopeful that this construction, if you will, would end the choking dust that they're dealing with, you know, in the current condition of the road. The partnership is rather unique this time. We certainly are familiar with, you know, neighbors coming forward and saying, hey, if we reach into our own pockets, can we make something happen, kind of a thing. This is another one of the scenarios, because as you can see here on the map, I was trying to orient myself with the colors here. The green dots are those folks who have ostensibly agreed to be willing to participate in an assessment for their share, if you will, of the cost of doing this road. The other partner that we are working with, and hopefully we'll be able to bring to the table also with some funding, would be the county. And so we're hopeful that the county would also be a third partner that would be able to bring some funding to the table to make this project happen. So with respect to the figures that we're looking at and potentially what the agreement would entail, that you know, we still want to work through, is that of a three-way partnership that would divide up the costs that the city would incur to pave this road and get this dirt road taken care of once and for all. One of the conditions that the funding partners have suggested at this point is that this road not be built to the full standard that a city road typically would be, which means that the curb and gutter would not be a feature of this, but yet a borrow ditch system, if you will, would be included. And so council would need to understand that if indeed the partnership comes together as we've discussed at this point in time and as we are hopefully working towards, that is a tenet of the understanding that indeed curb and gutter would not be included, but rather an asphalt section with a barge system that would help convey the stormwater and everything else. I like the proposal. I think it has a lot of merit, mostly because this is a long-standing problem that we've had with this part of our community since perhaps we've annexed this portion of the community into the city limits. I want to say late 70s, early 80s, when this all came into the community. I have certainly indicated to you that having partnerships is a real good way of getting things done that otherwise we probably couldn't get done. And so from that standpoint, what I'm suggesting, if everything works out like I hope that it would, we would be getting a quarter mile of road constructed for a third of the cost, which for the city of Casper would mean approximately $66,000. And for that kind of cost, for that type of work, it's really rare to get that type of work done for basically 33 cents on the dollar. And so I'm excited about the prospect. If indeed we do lose funding partners, you know, throughout the context of this conversation, then I'll probably get less excited about it. But leveraging money right now to get things done, to me, is just exactly how we need to look at things for a while. Because we, in fact, are making our construction dollars go further and further as much as we can. So, Mr. Mayor, I do have Andrew here with me tonight to help me walk through this conversation a little bit. And should you have any questions or anything that further discussion points that we might need to do some more research on, we're happy to do that too. Entirely what the council would like to see happen tonight.
Okay. Councilman Gadd.
a couple of things. I noticed in the memorandum that was sent to us, it said the county commissioners had already approved spending, paying for their third, and that they would go ahead and continue to plow the snow on it. A question that I've got, though, is how much more is it to put the curb and gutter on the road? Because we've run into a similar situation, actually out where you live, Mr. Mayor, out on Murado, where the people out on the very south end of Murado were not required to put in curb and gutter at the time that road was built. And it wasn't the people, it was the developer. But then other people came in and started developing some of the rest of it and were wanting that requirement waived, and that wasn't done at that time. So we are setting up almost a dual standard that concerns me going forward with future developments, and are we opening up a can of worms?
Mr. Mayor, do you mind if I start with that and then maybe defer to Andrew?
Sure,
do it. I do not have the full commitment of the county with regard to what that agreement would look like should it pass in the condition that we sent it to you as a draft, basically. And so I need to stop short of suggesting that the county's on board and that everything's done and we're ready to go. And I don't feel comfortable putting County Attorney Nelson on the stand and ask him what his opinion on all this is too, in that I didn't ask him to be prepared with that before he came tonight. He's here for another matter this evening. But certainly we you know, have talked informally that some operational sharing would be part of the deal, if you will, and I'm hopeful that that would be a feature that we could bring forward in a formal basis here later. As it relates to your concern about sort of a split standard, if you will, I recognize that that is a unique feature of this arrangement, and I understand that that's part of the problem with this arrangement here. But in the same token, I also want to say that I'm coming to you in a condition and a situation that I'm not generally or typically comfortable with, but certainly as it relates to getting stuff done and bringing money to the table, you know, I'm willing to deal with those discrepancies, if you will, for the short term in order to make things happen and get partnerships in place and make projects come to pass. I do feel confident that Andrew, however, can shed some light on what some of those additional costs would incur. And if I could defer, Mr. Mayor, at this point.
Mayor, Council, I was part of a conversation with one of the property owners and Councilman Bertolio, and the resident was only interested in getting the street paved. No other standards up to the city. So, but I can tell you that the costs, estimated cost for curb walk, which is curb and gutter and sidewalk, attached sidewalk, is right at $132,000 additional cost.
Councilman Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I used to live a little west of here in Westwood Park. In 1978, Westwood Park had transite water pipes. So that had to be taken out and fixed. And they also required Westwood Park to hook onto city sewer. And so that had to be done too. So that was all done at the same time. But I know those roads were completed in 1978 along the same design standards as what we're talking here. And you look at that area, Westwood Park, people are mowing the gutters. They're very nice. And quite honestly, it's a good way to get rid of the water as opposed to dumping it all in one storm sewer somewhere. So I would support this. It just makes sense to me. And I can tell you from experience that the dusty roads are a real problem. You have housing that gets a little dense. So, thank you.
Okay. Councilman Bates.
Just a few questions. I understand that they talked about sharing, a group of them agreed to share the cost of it. Do they know what that cost would be to them? I know that the Blue says that they were unreachable and there's four other people there. And so have they been in contact regarding this recent, since it's been sent out? And my last question is because I called all of them that the numbers were and talked to them, and Mr. Richard at 4425, he is adamant, he lives in the county, if that's where the road's going to stop, unless the county will pay for that road to be in there, he wants no part of being charged this. And so with him being on the other side from the city, what is owned by the city, would he have to help pay for that?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, Councilman Bates, I'm going to answer those questions in reverse order if I could. Mm-hmm. I would not advocate for Mr. Richards, is that his name, mm-hmm. to be a part of the assessment district, if you will, that would conclude, in my opinion, north of where he lives. Looking at the map here, if I understand who you're talking about exactly, he lives in more the purple area.
Yeah,
and the rest of the folks are in the green area.
Correct.
My opinion would be, if he lived in the green area, I would have a concern leaving him out of the assessment. But since he doesn't, and he lives in the purple area, my reverse concern would be I'd have a problem trying to include him since he doesn't part of the improvement. Although I do believe that even at that, he would still gain some benefit from the road being at least partially improved. But I wouldn't advocate for that. As far as the property owners being aware of what the actual monetary value is, maybe I could defer to Andrew a little bit for that. My feeling is that the kind of the lead property owner that's been helping us with this dialogue did let folks know that, but I would like to ask Andrew more about that, but if we could.
Mayor, Council, typically the way the allocation is split up is based off the frontage of the property onto Coach Road. And so just by my quick count, there's about 10 properties that front onto Coach Road between CY and the city limits. So to me, it would depend on the actual frontage, but each one would be looking at about $6,600 assessment. And that would be spread out at Council's discretion over 10 years at a nominal interest rate of, I'm looking at Mr. Pilbeck here, but 3% a year, in that year. More, is he pointing up? 10% a year.
Whatever Council says.
But it's typically a nominal amount spread out over 10 years. So I'm going to say roughly $6,600 per property spread out over 10 years at 3%.
And then the other question is the green dots on there are the one, or the blue dots are the ones that wasn't reached? And I'm just wondering, since this has been sent out to now, have they been contacted regarding this, and have we got an answer from them?
Mr. Mayor, I cannot say definitively that the blue dots have been converted to red or green dots at this point in time. So I don't totally know. But absolutely, that would be a part of this, making sure that we still have a majority of green dots to move forward and make this happen. I'm hopeful that it would be a consensus, frankly, of the neighbors there, but we don't have that statutory standard, if you will, to put a district in place.
Councilman Gaffney.
Looking at that map, there looks to be, is that a property owner or is that a right-of-way for another road that's sitting there between Doug and Mabee and Gardner Trust, Galvin Donley, Judith McGee, and James Jackson? Where the white road's running down to that 4426 or 25.
triangle.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman, to me that looks like, I'm not sure if it's public right of way or a public access to 4425, but that's not part of Coach Road that we're looking to pave.
And what I was getting at, and the reason I was asking that, is we aren't dealing with that particular road, so really all you're talking about is the, on that side, is Juarez, Stroham, and Johnson, and then maybe down there. Is that correct?
Mayor, Councilman, based off this map, I would typically agree.
Okay, and then the Stuart Biddleston over on the other side, the blue dot, would not be affected either.
I would agree with that assessment.
Okay.
Yeah, to me, the assessment is just going to be those who are actually front on the Coach Road.
Right. So, well, what I was getting at, and the reason I was asking as well, is that eliminates three green dots and two blue dots off of the map.
Mayor, Councilman, my math agrees with yours.
Engineers think alike. So. And by the way, thank you for having the number on the curb and gutter. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Any other questions or comments? All right. See any direction to go forward on this?
If council's ready to offer that.
Is council ready to offer that to go forward? Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Andy. Okay, we'll move on to massage therapy discussion. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Within the last couple weeks, council asked staff to do a little work to prepare this for a work session topic as it relates to the possibility of creating a certification for massage therapists in our community. The attorney's office has been doing some homework in that regard, putting an ordinance together, and certainly we've been visiting with the health department and other stakeholders in this matter to try to bring something forward that at least gets us started in this conversation. Certainly council has the ability to determine whether or not they want to move forward by virtue of either tonight's discussion or pursuant to the formal reading process that would come up pursuant to your thumbs up to move forward from here. We do have a draft for you to look at and talk about and offer direction on if council would like to do that. Mr. Mayor, if it pleases you and the council, I'd like to defer to the attorney to walk us through what some of those elements of the proposal would include.
Okay, Mr. City Attorney.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. This is really kind of an interesting idea, I think, in how to address some enforcement concerns regarding the use of the word massage and massage therapy and the like is a front for people who want to engage in illegal sexual conduct and for profit, which involves human trafficking, something that's becoming more and more of a problem, and they're seeing it pop up throughout the U.S. So I think it was a good idea that this was brought to our attention, and certainly if you can license a business and determine if the business is complying with the license, that's a lot easier enforcement obligation than going and trying to make a determination whether or not illegal sexual activity is happening in some back room out of sight, and where both the participants really don't want to have that come to light. So the essence of this is that the business, any business who would advertise, purport to be some type of a massage business, would have to be licensed. And anyone working for that business would have to be permitted. All of the permittees would have to be vetted, have background checks as to their criminal history, but also as to whether or not they are certified massage therapists. And that we know you're gonna have some businesses out there who are issuing certificates and purporting to educate some folks when they're really not. So we're gonna need some work on that. And that the Casper Police Department has generally stepped up. We were thinking that the Casper Police Department would do the background checks for sure, but also I think that they've agreed that maybe they are well suited to again call up and establish a list of schools and academies and the like that truly do provide a good education and provide the ethics and provide the hands-on training and provide the actual benefits and teach people well enough so they can provide the benefits to clientele here in Casper. So in that regard, we were thinking that the health department would be perhaps engaging in that, but in talking with and receiving correspondence and communications from the health department, they're more than happy to help out, but they're thinking that really isn't in their wheelhouse. But if we need something as far examined as far as the facilities and that type of thing, they are happy to do that. And indeed, Anna Kinder, who is here tonight along with Eric Nelson, the county attorney, and in a few seconds, if it's acceptable by the mayor and council, certainly would like to have them come to the podium and maybe just kind of give their thoughts and ideas. As part of this, there would be a lot of hurdles, I think, not very high hurdles, but a lot of hurdles to show that the people who are actually running this and or are providing the services do have the background and the education and the real desire to provide true certified massage therapy to people as opposed to other people. So we talk about the background checks and the educational checks, but also we're going to make sure that the fire department get in there, the building department get in there, that there's adequate toileting facilities, that there's adequate ingress and egress. Things of that nature that are just basic things. An insurance requirement we've added in there currently. You know, the council had done that for the arborist. Similarly, a requirement for this type of establishment may be appropriate, maybe not. We haven't heard from all of the people that are out there. And you know, we're going to limit the hours of operation from 6 a.m. to about 9 p.m. too, which I think would maybe work as far as a mindset of trying to people that really need a massage, you've done your workout, you want to go in and get a massage or whatever, you're probably going to be able to get in and out of there between the hours of 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. And so with that, those are the things that we're looking to do. There are a couple of things that are out there that are not included in here. Looking to get some guidance from some of the businesses around town. One is grandfathering. So businesses that are here and have been operating, at least for a period of time, but maybe they don't have actual certificates. How are we going to grandfather those in? Do you want to grandfather those in? You know, what type of restrictions would we put upon those? The other is, oddly enough, in talking about sexual body parts and the like, would be breast massage. But people who have had mastectomies, breast massage, I think is, as I understand it, at least from the Cheyenne, Laramie County documents, seems to be one of those areas where there is some certification and specialty training, and it is a service and a helpful service to certain people who have had to undergo a mastectomy. So those would be kind of, I think, the two areas that we will probably need to do a little bit more research on. And of course, we're doing this in the city of Casper, but people of Evansville, I don't think are going to want to have these establishments just move out to them. Mills, same thing. The county, the same thing too. And so the county is here again tonight, I believe, and I'll let Mr. Nelson or Ms. Kinder talk about that. But I think that they're hopeful that that this ordinance can maybe be applied almost countywide if we can get the other municipalities involved, and they would like to be involved. To maybe have a uniform standard, and you wouldn't let people kind of slip through the cracks, so to speak. One other matter that I think Ms. Kinder may want to talk about, at least briefly, is we've worked with the county very well here in the past, and they've been a great job and a great partner in a lot of ways. One of the issues that they deal with a lot are blood-borne pathogens. And they're hoping that we can maybe take a look at establishing some type of an ordinance in the future with respect to bloodborne pathogens. you know, and tattoo parlors and facial, I guess not facial, but basically dermatologic coloring and decorating art, which are some of the newer type of boutiques around town, and whether or not proper sanitation and controls are in place to protect the patrons of those. And I think this is something that the healthcare officer of the city, Dr. Dow, has been concerned about. He's voiced that concern with the health department. So again, Anna, Kendra may want to visit with you a little bit about that. So with the permission of the mayor and the council, if we could let Mr. Nelson and Ms. Kinder come up and speak and kind of let you know their feelings and thoughts about this, as well as maybe potential other matters that are on their mind.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilman. My name is Eric Nelson. I am the Natrona County Attorney. I'm here with Anna Kinder, who's the Executive Director of the Casper Natrona County Health Department. I'd like to thank Mr. Henley for that very nice overview of the proposed ordinance. I guess I'll just give a kind of a quick recap, I think, of kind of our thoughts and concerns, and I'll turn it over to Ms. Kinder to expand upon some of these issues. So I guess first and foremost, we applaud you for looking at this ordinance. We think that there is a need to enact some types of regulation with these types of establishments. Our first concern with regard to the health department having an active role in kind of the vetting and licensure checking is really a simple function of staffing. As you can well imagine with COVID this year and everything that's gone on, funding in some respects has diminished and the workload has increased exponentially. So there's I think from just a staffing perspective, there would be the concern that significant resources or sufficient resources could be dedicated to implementing this. You know, secondly, and I haven't had a chance to dive into it nearly as much as Mr. Henley, but it seemed to me that this wasn't really so much a role for the health department to get into, you know, looking at sanitation standards or the types of things that typically they would look at, but more of a background licensure check, and it doesn't fit neatly within their wheelhouse. And unless I miss something, which is entirely possible, you know, this would be probably somebody that didn't have to have a lot of, you know, specific training and could be a different type of staff member. So a question whether or not it fits best with the health department. That being said, the concern I have also from just the general county standpoint, and Mr. Hemming touched on this, is that if the city does adopt an ordinance of this type, then there's not uniformity in regulation throughout the county, you may see these types of businesses either relocating into unincorporated parts of Natrona County or into the other municipalities. So I think, you know, from my perspective at this point, I think that we be best served to get the various players together and talk about kind of a comprehensive way to address these issues. And Mr. Henley touched on bloodborne pathogens and tattoo and other types of art parlors. And then that is a concern I think that Anna can probably speak to a little bit more. You know, one, I did just a little bit of brief research to see how these types of things were regulated in other states. And I mean, it does seem to be a role for local health departments. And I wondered as we walked in whether or not there was enough statutory authority for the health department itself to just adopt a countywide regulation of these types of establishments. And, you know, again, we'd still have the staffing issues, but if we had one uniform regulation that covered all areas of Natrona County and would accomplish what you're setting out to accomplish, that may be the most efficient and expeditious way. I just don't know that we're prepared today to speak to it specifically, but I think we're very open, both at the county level and from the health department, to sit down and help work out a solution, because we would agree, I think, from a health perspective, that these are serious issues from law enforcement, trafficking issue, it certainly needs to be addressed. So with that, I'd answer any questions that you might have. Otherwise, I would turn the podium over to Ms. Kinder.
I think we're good.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do you have a question? Do you have a question?
I don't know. Are we taking?
Well, if you have a question for...
No, I don't have a question.
Eric, okay, then we'll listen to Anna real quick, and then I'll take the question. Unless you want to ask now.
Well, I've got a question, quite honestly. I haven't heard anything that indicates we've got a problem here. I'm kind of looking at this as a solution looking for a problem.
We're going to get to the problem, though, because there are people that are going to talk about that. So, Ms. Kendrick.
Mr. Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you today about this. We actually were, this was brought to our attention approximately a year ago, and we were talking to individuals that were interested in kind of the licensing situation. My background is I'm an occupational therapist and have been for maybe over 30 years, and I am registered nationally licensed in the state of Wyoming. So I simulate much like what a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, and massage therapy. So the state actually has, there's plans, and I'm thinking there's probably people in the audience right now that can address that more clearly, of actually working at this at a state level to get licensure. I appreciated being invited in, Mr. Manager, for being invited to the table. I think that's been something that I've worked really hard to have a role in providing information to you all. So how it was presented to us really wasn't a good fit. It was really hard for me to figure out what department would do something like that, etc. Looking at the safety and the well-being of a person going to a site and the cleanliness and what was required and the cleaning and disinfecting and all those kinds of things definitely are very much in the health department's wheelhouse. But as far as checking on the person's ability to provide the task was really kind of outside of what we were comfortable with. Very interested in continuing to have these conversations. But while we were looking at this, we recognized that we also, we do some licensing for tattoo parlors, but really have no ability to do, we don't have the power to do anything, not that we're looking for power, to say this is an unsafe place, this is something that we need to do. So that's why we brought those in together at the same time, thinking if we could come up with a strategy or a way of making this be an ordinance that actually had rules behind it. Mr. Nelson obviously talks about those things more eloquently than myself. Having those kind of in place so that we're covered in all those kind of entities where people are going into a situation that they're kept safe, cleanliness, hygiene, cleaning, disinfecting, especially in the world of COVID, we thought that it made the most sense. So happy to continue the conversation, but maybe tweaking or further enhancing what the health department's role would be. Any questions?
Vice Mayor Lewis.
Just to clarify, because we don't know how things can spiral. So you're saying the staffing issue is only involved if we were asking you to do the licensure and the certification of the schooling. If we're simply asking you to basically check for public safety and health in massage parlors, that's not a staffing problem?
That would also be a staffing problem. We have 4 inspectors that we do all the restaurants, bars, septics, et cetera, et cetera. So with those 4 inspectors, they're already at capacity right now. So we would need to hire additional staff to do the inspection of the massage.
Okay, and I would imagine there's support for that, because I think we're gonna have a pretty hard time justifying that we can't implement more public safety and health measures simply because we don't have staff.
Right.
So I just wanted to put that out before it spirals.
Thank you very much for doing that. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. We have Tracy, if you want to come up here.
Sure.
If you just state your name for us.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Tracy Aguilar. I am the owner of Peak Performance Massage Therapy here in Casper, Wyoming, and I have been a certified massage therapist for over 20 years. I graduated from the Harvard of Massage School's Boulder College of Massage Therapy with over 1,100 hours of training. I am passionate about licensure in Casper for massage therapists because of public safety and integrity in my profession. Every time a citizen of Casper, Wyoming makes an appointment for a massage, it is fair to say that most assume that their therapist is licensed by either the state or the city. Most people I see in my practice I have to educate and say, no, we don't. We are not required to have a license in this state or this city. And so it's important for you to ask your therapist, are they certified and how many hours of training have they completed? Assuming that a therapist is licensed or certified in Casper is taking a huge safety risk. Wyoming is one of two states that does not require licensure for massage therapists. This means anyone can watch a video, YouTube, read a book, and set up shop and practice massage on the public. Not having licensure welcomes anyone to our community who can't pass a background check, attain a license from where they are from. Not requiring a license welcomes unethical establishments to set up shop under the disguise of massage, which is also happening in our community right now. Our citizens deserve to know that when they book a therapeutic massage, that their therapist is trained in contraindications, proper draping techniques, and follow safety measures put in place under their license. As you all are aware, COVID-19 has touched our community. The governor mandated that all massage therapy establishments close in March. Did you know that we have over 70 massage therapists in Casper? That's a lot of therapists that get to make up their own rules on cleanliness and safety. A license would require the therapist to follow the rules and regulations put in place by people who are the experts, our health department. In closing, I would like to thank the mayor for taking the time to meet with me and hear what I had to say. And I also would like to thank all of you for allowing me to take the floor to discuss this important issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess for all up to discussion, and I'll tell you that in our conversations, I did have conversations with Tracy about this, and it kind of, looking back into my previous career in law enforcement, everybody can remember back to Tokyo Massage and businesses of the like that, by not having a license requirement in place and not requiring people to have education, you get those type of establishments in town. And they have been problems and they're difficult to shut down. Law enforcement is very difficult as far as undercover sting operations, if you will, to try and catch people in the act of doing bad deeds at these establishments. When you have legitimate businesses that are trying to operate as massage therapist, but yet we have these other businesses that are of entertainment value, to say the least. So I will tell you that not only is it going to legitimize actual businesses that do it, and it's going to bring the health perspective into it to make sure that they're running properly and clean, but it is also going to allow law enforcement the opportunity to in the city itself, the opportunity to not license those businesses that are not legitimate, that are for entertainment purposes only, and keep them out of our community. That's the way I look at it. So, Councilman Huber.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to agree with everything that you were just now saying. With the greatest of deference and respect to Councilman Hopkins, we do have a problem with this. I like a good therapeutic massage, and I benefit very greatly with the physical problems and everything that I've suffered over the years. A good bona fide therapeutic massage is indeed a therapeutic thing. It's a very legitimate, very good thing. I have had friends, relatives, different people who know that I benefit from that kind of thing tell me now, don't go over here, or don't go over there, because those are not what you think. It's not, and so we do have that kind of activity going on here in our town. And I, for years and years, there was the Tokyo Massage out there towards the airport, out in the county, and people giggled and winked and all that stuff. And I just am repulsed by that idea that, that there can be that kind of activity going on, and people just kind of giggle and wink sometimes, and and that. So, no, I'd like to see this kind of ordinance put on the books. I'd like to see something like this in the state statutes And I'm not just saying let's outlaw everything and all that stuff, but I think this is a real legitimate thing that should be governed by an ordinance. And so as a general proposition, I'm very much in favor of this, and I think it's something that we really need.
And I'll add to what Mike just said, there's three locations that I'm aware of at the moment in town that are, and I keep saying entertainment purposes only, but I mean they are not legitimate massage therapy businesses. They are for entertainment purposes only. So to say there's not a problem, there is. I mean, we could go to three locations right now and you'd be able to see where the problem's at. So, and the other thing that I would say, I know there's a couple other people out here in the audience that obviously you have things that you want to say about this, and I would ask that you reach out to us as we move through this, or if it moves on, to reach out to us to help us answer some of these questions. And I know the grandfathering thing has been brought up to me a couple times as far as how we would handle that. And frankly, you know, I'd like to have further discussion on that, but whatever amount of time it takes somebody to come into compliance, I wouldn't really have an issue with that as long as they were a legitimate business working towards it and they have that set time. And if they don't make it within that set time, then they're no longer grandfathered, is the way I look at it. So any other questions or comments? Councilman Kevin.
Well, I thought Mr. Nelson brought up a very valid point, as was also addressed by Mr. Henley, and that is that similar to the smoking ordinance, all we did then was push the smokers to the county. And that's all this ordinance will do here is push these businesses to the county. And I think I would probably at this point recommend trying to either have one of the council members work with the county, or Mr. Henley and Mr. Nelson get together, and because I think we are in agreement with it, but we don't need to cause problems and issues with our surrounding community as well. And so I think they both brought up a very valid point that it is probably something that we ought to work at in a larger venue than just Casper, and look at this as a community effort, and include our suburbs, if you. But I know they wouldn't appreciate that comment, but they are.
Sister cities.
Do what?
Sister cities.
Well, one of them is.
Yeah.
Mills is now. But I think that's a route that we should really investigate as well before just leaping out on our own and forcing other people to have to deal with our issues.
I would agree with that, and I think it should be county. Mr. Henley, correct me if I'm wrong, but the paperwork that originally gave you out of Cheyenne, is that not countywide for Laramie County?
That is. In fact, Skinner talked about having regulations for the health department itself, and so that's the route. So Cheyenne does have an ordinance, but the Cheyenne Laramie County Health Department also has a set of regulations that they adhere to and basically act as an enforcement arm down in the southeastern part of the state.
Okay. We're trying to not recreate the will. We're just trying to work off of what we have.
Have no problem with that, of using somebody else's ordinance. I think that's wonderful. Yep. But I'm just meaning that we need to get with our other, you know, because basically Cheyenne doesn't have communities around the way we do. So.
Yep, I agree. Councilman Huber.
I would just add to the thought that Councilman Caffey has presented. Yes, I think we should work with our sister municipalities and with the county on this. However, I think this is something that needs to be done. I'd like to see us move forward with this. I don't think we should hold back and wait for anybody else on this. And you know, if you look at the smoking ban, well, that was going to be the end of the world. Well, guess what? Now, you know, it applies just about everywhere in our sister municipalities and everything. It wasn't the end of the world. It was a big improvement for everything. And I'd like to see a state to lead, if anything, on this and get going.
Councilman Bates.
Thank you. You mentioned that three for sure that you know of. And it was mentioned that we have a total of 70 in Casper, is that 70 correct?
70 plus.
70 yeah. plus in Casper.
Yeah.
Do we, I'm wondering if the chief could tell us if he knows of, besides the three that you know of for sure. Because I'm just playing devil's advocate, I'm for it. I'm just thinking, if we know three for sure, but there's a total of 70 that plus, and there's most of them legit, is the problem really as big as we're gonna bring it? So I'm just asking. Other questions, does chiropractors have to be licensed?
Yeah.
They do. Okay, I didn't know. I've never been to one. So
every other healthcare profession has to have a license except massage therapy.
Except for massage. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
And if I could just real quickly address what you're saying, whether there's three or there's one, it's a problem. And it has been. Councilman Huber, I'm sure, can attest to this. Tokyo massage was around here for decades. And it was a problem. And there was really there's really no way of stopping those type of businesses. And this is, a new way of looking at being able to stop them. Maybe if they're not legitimate, they're not going to get licensed and they cannot be in business. And you have to understand the other side of it is it's not necessarily all just saying that people that are legitimate, that we're trying to legitimize their practice. You have to understand that the people on the opposite side that are not legitimate for entertainment purposes only, and I'll keep using that term, those people, that's sex trafficking, and that's trafficking that's taking place. And I can tell you for a fact that in some of these that I've dealt with in the past, and I'm sure the chief could tell you the same thing, these are people from other countries that are being trafficked into the United States for the purposes of exploitation. So so it's a problem, whether it's one or not. Councilman Huber.
Mr. Mayor, I just want to amplify on your comments here. At various times over the years, when I was a circuit court judge, and even back to my times as a prosecutor, you know, law enforcement tried to deal with these kind of establishments. One of the things that consistently always struck me was the people that are employed in these places were always just pathetic creatures. You could tell that they were being victimized, that they were being trafficked, they were being, I just can't use words to describe it. It was pathetic and inhumane what these people were being subjected to. And you could just tell by looking at them that they had just been, had their entire human spirit wrung out of them. And I don't want any part of that in the city of Casper. I think this is something that we need to take the lead on, and the mayor is exactly correct. Whether if it's one or if it's three or if it's 50 or however many, one is too many. And it really puts a black mark on a very, very legitimate and honorable profession and practice. And I really think we need to go forward on this. But I just wanted to amplify off of your words, because I don't think that you people can imagine how victimized some of these workers really are. And when it gets to the point where people on the street come up and say, oh yeah, if you want this kind of entertainment, here's where you go. That problem has a pretty high profile, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, people would talk to me and say, oh, well, you know, you want a massage, don't go there, because woo-hoo.
Vice Mayor Luce.
Okay, so just touching back on a handful of things that we've heard about and also discussed. As far as moving forward, I do think that we probably need to look pretty seriously into the grandfathering, just because I feel like you're always going to run into problems when you're allowing a specific subset of groups to operate under one standard and then a new set of people to operate under a different standard. One of the things I did have a massage therapist reach out and discuss to me about was reciprocation between nearby states. As you know, if somebody were to be licensed or certified or whatever the terminology is in a nearby state that has potentially the same requirements or even more stringent requirements, then potentially looking at, you know, instead of reinventing the wheel and doing all of basically having to prove everything again, determining if we as a city trust the states surrounding us and their licensure process. The other thing that I bring up, and we'll obviously discuss this as we go forward, but I know that we had talked about like arborists, like listing the ones that are licensed on the City Casper website. I'd like to see us do the same thing if we move forward with this, and that way citizens could access the City Casper website and get a list of licensed massage therapists. And just, we didn't talk about it much, but just a point of clarity, the tattoo thing I think is really honestly a separate issue. I know that it's similar, but I really think it would be to the best interest of both industries to separate these issues and deal with that separately. Sorry, that was a lot of words, but that's all I had.
Okay, any further discussion? All right, so we're looking for direction to move forward. So,
can I speak on this stuff?
In work sessions, we can't, but you can certainly reach out to any one of us and we'll answer your question. So, I guess back to
what? Can I clarify on what we're voting on? Are we moving forward as in Henley touching bases with the county? Are we moving forward that yes, we want to Casper take the lead on this? What are we agreeing?
So Casper taking the lead on this, but we will certainly be, Mr. Henley would be in touch with Mr. Nelson and other municipalities to see if in fact they want to pass this. Because I agree, I think it should be passed countywide. Because that has happened in the past on ordinances where we've addressed it that was against the city ordinance here, and then they just moved out to the county, and then it becomes a county problem. So have those further discussions, but move forward with this ordinance itself. Okay, so it looks like all but one. So, okay, thank you. Now we'll move on to financial administration guidelines policy.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. The council has been working for quite some time on tightening up the financial policies and guidelines of the city of Casper, and particularly as it relates to the amounts of dollars that are held up in reserves and other policy mandated pots of money, if you will, throughout the enterprises and so on. And so my feeling is that a lot of work has taken place and a lot of good discussion has been had and direction given, and we're almost at the point where all that is memorialized and ready to go on a formal basis. And so I appreciate that effort and that time that you've put forward here. One of the things that we need to tighten up and make sure we understand your direction on is with regard to the practice that the city has taken from time to time to underwrite loans, if you will, to partner agencies, or even in the rare circumstance where we lend ourselves money from a water fund or vice versa or whatever to get projects done when other funding is not available. Mr. Pitlick has been working on language that would tighten that up some. We did address this somewhat in a previous conversation, and like I said, we just wanted to be sure that we were in concert with what it is that you're suggesting we need to do, and so that we can prepare it for its formal and last step as it relates to this entirety of financial policies and directives. If it's okay with you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the council, if I could have Mr. Pitlick come up and kind of address those questions that we still have, and if you're prepared to provide that information and insight, we would gladly take that and then prepare this document, the larger document, for your formal consideration here on the floor very soon.
Good.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. As Carter mentioned, there's just a couple of loose ends, particularly on the loan aspect of some of the funds. We tried to set, suggesting a benchmark, I guess, for these, and there's three different components. One of them is as far as how much of the corpus could be utilized and made available for these types of loans. So a suggestion in the memo you received is that cumulatively that the total amount of the loans from any of the funds should not exceed 20% of the corpus. So that is one consideration we're asking for your further guidance on. Another aspect is for the term of the loan. The suggestion being made is that the term of the loan not exceed 10 years. And another issue that arose in our conversations as far as the interest rate. And again, just trying to set a benchmark, it suggested that the interest rates be not less than the current United States prime rate. At the current time, the United States prime rate is 3.25%. And just for clarification, the United States prime rate, that is the amount that commercial banks loan, the interest rate they charge to their best creditworthy customers. So it's not a rate that's set by the Feds, but it is a rate that's set by the main commercial banks. So those are the three parts that is, at least in my recall, that we had to tie up for loose ends on that aspect of the provisions of the loans. So with that, I take any questions or any other guidance or suggestions.
Any comments, ma'am? Vice Mayor.
No, I was just going to say, it sounds absolutely necessary and right, so not an educated comment, but I think it sounds good to me.
Mr. City Manager.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind my asking Mr. Pitlick a question here. Tom, do you mind reviewing the funds that we would recommend be eligible for these possibilities so that indeed council's clear that this isn't necessarily a, you know, enterprise-wide recommendation?
Absolutely. The funds that we're referencing are in a policy. They're entitled Special Council Designated Funds that we discussed. And there are three funds in that category. It's the Opportunity Fund, the Perpetual Care Fund, and the Revolving Land Fund. So those are the three funds that we would be addressing through this policy.
Okay. No, any questions? Comments? Two of you look like you got something to say.
I need to do some more, read more, or ask questions later.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thanks, sir. Okay. So what more do you need on that?
Well, Mr. Mayor, if your colleagues are comfortable with the proposals thus far, we'll go ahead and prepare that as well as the rest of the directives you've given us over the years and get it ready for its final formal acknowledgement for the floor.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll go over agenda review for next week. Mr. City Manager, anything of importance? Of course, it's all important, but okay. It really stands out.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Vice Mayor Lutz brought up the animal care control amendments for third reading, and I assume we'll have some public comment as a part of that discussion as well. We will have the item in pre-meeting with regard to the judge coming to update the council with some items that we're working on. And Beyond that, Mr. Mayor, I'm not seeing a whole lot jump out at me at this point in time as being significant for tonight's discussion.
Okay, anybody else got anything for next week or the work session following? Councilman Kathy.
What exactly are we authorizing on the private use of city-owned right-of-way? It's the first thing under resolutions. Authorizing a license agreement between the city and Thomas and Sonia Rohrbach for the private use of a city-owned undeveloped street right-of-way.
I don't think we have at this forum, so that's a very appropriate question in my opinion. We have some property owners who live adjacent to an undeveloped street right-of-way, and the prospects of that right-of-way ever being developed, particularly in light of the history that right-of-way has had, are pretty slim. However, what they're proposing is that that right-of-way be used by them, albeit in a way that doesn't allow for permanent structures to be erected or improvements that would require a great deal of removal should we need to get in there and develop the area or work on the sewer line that runs under there or whatever. So while we aren't vacating the right-of-way, we are suggesting that their use of the area probably has little impact to the citizens of the community and will in fact take some of the burden off of the city for its maintenance if indeed they do decide to improve it with turf or something to that effect. And the agreement also stipulates that indeed should we need to get in there and work on the sewer line or put in a street because the development is coming through or whatever, we would have no obligation to remunerate them for the expenses and the investments that they put into that, say to put in turf or whatever. So that's really the upshot of that.
Will they be allowed to fence it?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman, fencing could be a part of that if they decide to, but again, they would be responsible for tearing it down or replacing it should we need to get in there and work in that easement.
That would be okay. Now, is there going to be something sent to title companies, whatever, that a buyer coming along, if it were fenced, as we potentially run into in other places, the new buyer comes in and thinks, oh yeah, on that other 40 feet out there, and then the city comes along and says, hey. So we need to make sure that there is something in this agreement to make sure that it gets into public records someplace along the way and is recorded so title companies can find us.
Mr. Mayor, I think that's a very appropriate suggestion and not uncommon actually with regard to arrangements like this to attach this agreement to the deed so that when title searches are done, that deed comes up the agreement comes up with the deed and the title and everything.
That's my only concern about it. Otherwise, I have no issues with it.
It's very appropriate.
We just need to make sure that happens. Thank you.
Anything else on the agenda? Okay, move on to legislative review, City Manager.
Mr. Mayor, I don't really have anything to add for that portion tonight.
Okay, so we'll counsel around the table. Councilman Bates.
Thank you. I want to speak on the email that we all received and I don't know, I think I've counted 57 so far, and I have responded to every single one of them, and I've called 37 of them, out of all of them, and kind of spoke to them a little bit about it. And expect a lot of them to want to be here next week. So I do thank the people that have reached out to us regarding it and their feelings and what they think is right. I appreciate that. With the animal care ordinance, I plan on, with the city attorney, I have some amendments that I would like to pass along to you guys to see what you all think as well regarding that. Historical preservation, we met on this week, Monday, and we're still talking about the 100 years for Nolan and celebrating that, and so I really hope that you guys will extend a thank you to them for being within our city for that long and the family building that up. So I just want to encourage you guys for that there. And I think that's it.
Okay. Councilman Huber.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to bring up today a really, really good thing for the state of Wyoming happened and for the city of Casper. Mr. Mayor, you were there, Councilman Caffey, Councilman Bates, Chief McPeters. I want to especially thank all of you folks for being there. Wyoming is no longer the only state in the nation that does not have a suicide prevention hotline. Through efforts of Central Wyoming Counseling Center, Governor Gordon, and the State Health Department, Wyoming now has moved into the 20th century, and we now have a suicide prevention hotline here. And that's a big thing. You know, Wyoming leads the nation in suicide, and everybody sits there and wrings their hands about that and says, oh my goodness, that's a problem we need to do something about. Well, the governor and some people have stepped forward, and that is a really, really big, good thing. And I hope that it's something that the state is able to continue to support. And I think that the community really needs to support it. And I just am really happy about that occasion this morning with that opening. The other thing, I almost hate to bring this up, but I spent my entire professional career working, as either a prosecuting attorney or a circuit court judge. And we never had officer-involved shootings. In the last few years, it just seems like that's just become, very tragically, just kind of a regular occurrence. I don't know why that is. I think that, nothing is ever just really simple. There are no simple answers to these things. They're always multifaceted. But I think that we as a society really need to look and stop and think, what do we think the real role of guns in our society should be? We need to continue looking at the problem of drug abuse and other kinds of abuse and that. It just really makes me sick that we keep seeing these things. It's only if we keep going like we are, it's only a matter of time until we lose an officer in the line of duty that way, and I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see any of our citizens or any of our people dying or being injured in this kind of a way. And I think we need to stop and think about that a lot as a community and see just where we need to be going with that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You, Councilman McGee.
Basically, Councilman Huber stole my thunder. So we will move on.
Councilman Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank staff for that little rundown on the turbine blades. That's very helpful, and I think it tells the story pretty well that we don't have a problem with it, with the exception of now we're probably going to have competition from the coal mines. So, good point to get the contract in place.
Vice Mayor.
Nothing to mention.
All right, and everybody stole my thunder too, so. I got to take my picture with the governor today, so. That's it. So, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Got out by 6, Mr. Mayor.
That's a lot, right?
Wow.
Wait, what is it? We're like 5 hours ahead of schedule.
We didn't have 3 of our council. I wonder if that was it.
The governor was impressed when he found out that our company will be operating the at least 50% and potentially 100% of the drilling rigs operating in Wyoming starting the 20th.
Are we at
0
right now?
We're at 0 right now. Yeah.
I was like, just
to put it
and Samson's picking up a rig, and I don't know if they've already got it in the air or not, but it's a race for the 20th. So,
how many will you guys be operating? How many will you be operating?
You want to, basically, we're just going to have one rig.
Okay.
We actually have for 3 different clients between now and the 1st of November.